Bradley, and welcome to the Biathlon Podcast. And take a bow, Rube Holden. The fans brought the atmosphere and the athletes brought the drama in Germany. Six great races, the Crystal Globe battles are hotting up. Let's get into it. Thanks for joining me, everybody. It is Tuesday, January 16th, and we just had the best week of racing so far this season, without a doubt in my mind. A couple of good relays to start us off. The sprints were great, and then the pursuits, probably my top two races of the season. Both the overall races are still looking pretty tasty as it stands, too. I'm going to be chopping up all the races here, letting you know my winners and losers, and we've got best bets for Antholz. Races coming there soon, starting Thursday, and we'll catch up on the IBU Cup too. As always, get in touch with your reactions, predictions, or questions. You can get in touch on the Facebook page, the Twitter page, or you can email me at thebiathlonpodcast@gmail.com. Not going to mess around with the news today. I'm excited to get into these races, so let's not mess around. We're starting off with the women who were relaying on Wednesday. Ask and you shall receive. I was moaning last week. I wanted a better relay, and the women gave it to us for the first race of the week. No Justine Brazier, Boucher, Norway were hoping to extend their season lead, taking advantage of her absence, but it all went wrong so early in this one for him. Skogen, the unfortunate woman with the meltdown on leg one, having to ski two penalty loops in the standing chute. Leg two, meanwhile, was all about Lisa Vitozzi. We'll hear about her later as well. Two misses in the stand, but the fastest reloading you've ever seen kept it to a 28-second shoot with two reloads. Great race at the halfway stage, with Italy leading a group of Switzerland, Ukraine, Germany, France, and Sweden all in the mix. Norway all the way down at 145, and it wasn't going to get any better. Preutz, Brawson, Chavot decided to put the hammer down on leg three, and they stretched a lead to give us a three-way battle for the win. Onto the final leg, it was Kebinger v. Simon v. Elvira Erberg, and who would have thought it? Elvira making the first mistake. Two spares needed in the prone left her 18 seconds behind Simon, but the red mist came down. That lead was gobbled up to give us a fight at the final shoot. Pressure was on Simon, but she shot perfectly to take the win. Elvira having to settle for second, with Germany third, and then 3 minutes behind the sad sight of Norway coming home 10th. Tandrevold outskied by Lampitz in the final stages to rub salt into the wound. She'd look for redemption, though, because we were sprinting on Friday and all the focus was on the six-woman battle for the overall crown. And it was that woman off first, Ingrid Landmark Tandrevold, 91 points down coming into the race. And after that relay, she was on a mission, torching the first lap. Taking no chances in the range, though, slow but safe, and she was through with 5 out of 5. Elvira next up, just as fast on the skis as Tandrevold, but couldn't match her in the range. Two misses from the Swede, and the pressure was on her. And now the woman that they were all chasing, Justine Brazier Boucher, rested for the relay and looking for three sprints in a row. But this one couldn't have got off to a much worse start. A fall on lap one, followed by a miss in the prone, and the race was lit up. Vitozzi was next. Her and Preutz both in the mood to capitalize, nailing the first five. Vitozzi 4 seconds down on Tandrevold, Preutz 4 seconds up. And the last of the challengers, Julia Simon, in and out with 5 out of 5, just outside Preutz's time, but right there with the leaders. And with Brazier Boucher in trouble, the pressure was on Tandrevold to go down well in the stand. She's had her troubles there in the past, but not this day. 10 down, and the pressure switched to the field. Elvira next in, doing well to limit the damage, clearing the stand and skiing fast, just 33 seconds down on Tandrevold. Brazier Boucher with another miss, making it 2 on the day, but the legs just weren't there for her. 50 seconds back on Tandrevold with a lap to go, while her teammate Jean Monod hit the 10 and was looking good for the podium. And she wasn't the only one. Lisa Vitozzi clear as well, battling Jean Monod for second with Tandrevold up the road. Someone who wasn't battling for second was the hometown hero, Francesca Preutz, leading Tandrevold by 3 seconds into the range. Hits one, hits two, hits three. But no more would go down. 4 and 5, both going wide, and it was down to Simone to challenge for the win, but she missed two as well. That's Elvira Brezabuchet, Protz, and Simone all managing just 8 hits on the day in pretty easy shooting conditions. Tandreval then taking the win, but there was a hell of a battle for second. Jean Monnet, she held it briefly, but Vitozzi snuck it off her, and then a surprise challenger. Surprise that is, unless you listened to my best bets last week. Mona Brorson hitting the 10, 3-second lead over Vitozzi going onto the last lap. It looked good, it was going up, but by the end, she was running on fumes and just pipped the Italian to stay ahead, 0.8 seconds ahead of her, and that was your podium. Jean Monnet 4th, Elvira skiing away out of trouble, gets a decent 5th, but the damage was done to the challengers. Protz 9th, Simone 10th, and the overall leader, Brezabuchet, down in 12th. How would they really change things up again, though? Could Tandrevold take over at the top in the pursuit? It was certainly looking good early. Shoot one passed with no mistakes while the pack was in turmoil behind her. Brorson, Vitozzi, Jean Monnet all missing one, while Elvira, Simone, and Brezabuchet missing two to fall down the pack. Protz, Anikleev, and Pearson, the only women in the top 12 to go clear, and Tandrevold holding a handy 36-second lead. No mistakes in the second shoot either for Tandrevold, but this time the chasers were on point. Protz, Anikleev, Jean Monnet, Vitozzi, Sharvatova, and Brorson all clear, and keeping Tandrevold honest, just 30 seconds back of the Norwegian. But the big names were still struggling further back. Another miss each for Brezabuchet and Simone, and another 2 misses for Elvira, who was outside the top 20 now. The first mistake for Tandrevold coming in the stand, shoot 3. The first 4 shots looked great, but number 5 missed by a whisker. Vitozzi behind her cleared, and just her and Anikleev managing the 5 from the chasing group. 5 seconds back of Tandrevold, and we had a leading group of 3. Simone back into the top 10, but Brezabuchet missing another, and the yellow bib looked like it might be leaving her shoulders. So we were onto the final shoot, and 3 leaders in together. Simone carving through the field behind them, just a penalty loop behind. Who was going to blink? It didn't affect any of them. All top 3 go clear. Anikleev, Tandrevold, and Vitozzi. And we had a ski race to the finish. Simone's fast pace didn't pay off. She had another 2 misses behind them. Up at the front, though, Vitozzi took up the work early. Little dig on the first climb. Got a tiny gap, but it was Anikleev's time to take over. Up the big climb, I thought someone might go for it, but no one did. It was cagey out there. Looked like we had a sprint coming, but Vitozzi attacked again. Anikleev braked. Tandrevold was on her tail, though, and it was neck and neck coming into the finish, but Vitozzi just too strong. She took the win, out-sprinting Tandrevold. Anikleev taking a great 3rd place up on the podium with them. Jean Monnet with a 2nd 4th place of the week. Heikki Groes going up from 17th to 5th, with Protz 6th. Meanwhile, behind them, a brilliant recovery from Brezabuchet gave her 7th, Simone 13th, and Elvira all the way down in 18th. Let's see how that's affected those overall scores. That's right, the overall race is really hotting up now, and we have a new leader, the yellow bib, leaving the shoulders of Justine Brezabuchet, and now adorning the shoulders of the Norwegian Ingrid Landmark Tandrevold. She leads the way. Number of the devil, interestingly. Hopefully that's not a bad omen. 666 points, 9 points ahead of Brezabuchet. Vitozzi closing the gap. She's now down just 60 points off the lead. Elvira 125, Protz 161, and Simone now at the back of the this leading pack of 6. She's still in the mix, though, 169 points off the lead. And I mean, the race here is really hotting up. It sort of hasn't changed a huge amount from last week. Last week we had the top 6 separated by 159 points. This week it's 169 points, so only a 10-point difference. And when you look at the top 3, last week it was Brezabuchet, Tandrevold, and Elvira. There was 119 points separating them. Now this week it's Tandrevold, Brezabuchet, and Vitozzi, and there's only 60 points separating that top 3. So that race really, really tightening up here after brilliant weekends from Tandrevold and Vitozzi. A little bit of a a lost opportunity for the others. I think if you look at Brezar Boucher, I think she did the best sort of reclamation project of everyone. Bit of a tough go of it in the sprint for her. She missed one in the prone, one in the stand. The ski speed just not quite there. She had two misses, but was about 20 seconds behind Elvira, who also had two misses, down in 12th. Whereas on recent form, you'd back Brezar Boucher to be battling for a podium with two misses. And then in the pursuit, she comes back from a pretty horrible start. She missed two in the first, then one in the second shoot. And even going into the last shoot, it looked like a top 10 finish was probably going to be a bit too much for her to manage. But got herself up to seventh with a clean shoot at the end there. Good damage control from Brezar Boucher. Still right up at the sharp end. I think the bigger losses are probably Elvira and Preutz. Elvira skiing really well in the sprint. Got a fifth, but, you know, take away one of those misses, take away two of those misses, and suddenly the points have increased so much more. And in the pursuit, she was just never at the races at all. She got off to a bad start. It carried on being bad. So Elvira, 125 back. She hasn't actually lost a huge amount. She was 119 back after last week. So, yeah, she's only a further 6 points back. But it felt like this was a weekend where she could have made a big dent in the lead and had to watch Vitozzi and Tandrevold doing it instead. Preutz, a similar story. She's only 2 points further away from the lead than she was last week. But in the sprint especially, it looked like she was going to do it. She comes into that standing shoot with a lead over Tandrevold. The first three went down. You could feel the crowd just willing her to get the other two down. They were ready to explode. But then four and five both missing. That puts her down the order. Still in the mix, but just an opportunity went begging there for Preutz. And Simon in a similar place. Those two misses of the sprint. She was looking really good in the pursuit towards the end, skiing really well, but then a couple of misses again at the in the final shoot sent her back down the order. It's a fascinating race. It feels like the most people still in contention at this point. I mean, we're almost two-thirds of the way through the season now. And we've still got six women right in the mix, maybe seven. We'll come on to who's in seventh place in a second. Because we will go through, you know, the weekly awards. We got gold, silver, bronze for my top performers. We then got the unsung hero and the biggest disappointment. We'll start with gold, and I honestly just couldn't split the two of them. Vitozzi and Tandrevold, both incredible weeks. I've given it to Vitozzi just because of her performance in the relay. Tandrevold, not her fault at all. Norway over 2 minutes, like maybe even 2.5 minutes down by the time that they handed over to her for the anchor leg. I think she was probably keeping her powder dry, going through the motions a little bit. So I've given the gold to Vitozzi. Brilliant performance in the relay. I mean, a couple of misses from her, needing the spares, but I've never seen anyone reload as fast as she did. 28 seconds, like I said, for the standing shoot with two spares. And, you know, you hear the commentators talking about it, a spare round, usually you're looking at an extra six, seven seconds. You've obviously got to then aim again, put down the target and reload for a second time. But Vitozzi just, it's like an old Western movie. It was crazy how quickly she got those shots off and hit the targets as well, keeping Italy in it. And we'll come on to the relays that are coming on home snow for the Italians, because it'll be interesting to see what lineups they choose. But I'm getting ahead of myself there. Concentrate on the races that we've just done. Obviously, then she comes into the sprint. Unlucky to not get second in a way. I mean, Brorson just beating her by 0.8 of a second there, but it was a brilliant race from Brorson. Can't take anything away from her. But a third place there, and then to bring that up into a first. And I've got to be honest, on that last lap, we had Arne Clive, Tandrevold, Vitozzi all racing each other. From memory, I was struggling to think of a time, a sort of a big sprint from Vitozzi. Tandrevold, I feel like I've got way more in my head where we've seen her finishing strong. So I thought Tangevold was the likely woman to go, but that last lap, right from the get-go, it looked like Vitozzi really wanted it. She had a little attack sort of as they came out of the range up that first sort of small slope, I think just testing the legs of Tangevold and Arnaclive. Then they went up the big stretch of uphill. I thought someone might put a dig in there, but no one did. They were all watching each other. And then it was just coming up to that last checkpoint, the big attack coming from Vitozzi. Tangevold could go with her. They dropped Arnaclive. And then Vitozzi, even after those attacks, still had it in the legs to take that sprint. And Tangevold was sprinting hard. She hadn't given up by any stretch. So brilliant racing. Loved all three of the races. They were all great. And Vitozzi just edging out Tangevold as the gold medal winner there. But Tangevold equally deserving, for sure. On to the silver. And I mentioned earlier, she's seventh in the overall standings now. Lou Jeanmanot, two fourth places in the sprint and the pursuit. Back up to seventh overall. And if not for those missed races back in Lenzerheide, you'd have to say it's probably going to be a seven-woman race for the overall crown. She's still just 25. She looks so much more mature than that. And I think if you sort of had to give it to anyone, probably the best shot in the field, I think I'd give that to Jeanmanot right now. Vitozzi, I think, has the slightly better percentages on the season. But just in terms of the confidence you have when they come into the range, Jeanmanot comes in. She's been outstanding for a couple of seasons now, and is really turning into a week in, week out threat for wins and for Crystal Globes, of course. So silver medal there going to Jeanmanot. In bronze, had to give it to Mona Brorson, a second and a ninth place. And that second place for Brorson, I was surprised by this. In my head, it felt like she's been on the podium so many more times. But that's her PB. Best ever finish was third up until last week. So best finish of her career in the sprint. Really lit up the sort of back end of the race. It was a really good sprint, and she sort of came out of nowhere to put in a challenge at the end there. And it was great shooting. Third fastest prone shoot in that sprint. We've talked quite a lot this season about people who've been demoted to IBU Cup, promoted back into World Cup racing. Brorson's one of those. She was down in the IBU Cup last year. So fantastic sort of story to get back up in what's the sort of latter stages of her career. She's 33 now. As a 33-year-old. I can't call that old, but it's good to see Brorson back up there, and be amazing if we can see her take a win, because she's had a couple of close calls in her career. Obviously at the World Champs in Sweden. What was that, 2019, I think? Came close there, and it'd be great to see her take a win. Not sure it will happen, but we can hope. So she takes the bronze medal there. Also a shout out for Tanheim, just 19 years old, the German youngster, already looking like a future star. 10 out of 10 in the sprint. She finished 16th, I want to say, as I just double check that. Tanheimer, 15th. Yeah, 15th in the sprint, a clear shoot. And just the sort of makeup of the women's field at the moment, we've lost such big names in recent times. Denise Herrmann-Vick, obviously, Roysland, Eckhoff, just sort of dominating names of the sport. And the conveyor belt of talent's just bringing people through. We've had Jean Richard of France. Now we've got Tanheimer of Germany, and among so many other names, Jeanmanot and Chavot, even just in the French team as well. So yeah, the future of the sport on the women's side looking very, very healthy to me. And Tanheimer, just another person that we might expect to be challenging at the top for years to come. And I mean, we're talking about Elvira, still under 25 as well. There's just so many young stars in the field at the moment. Unsung hero. I know there's a few Canadian listeners out there, quite a few Canadian listeners actually, and I'm going to Canada for the unsung hero. Benita Pfeiffer, I believe the second cousin of Aunt Pfeiffer, former Olympic champion, of course, and coming through with a brilliant performance all week. I thought she took a PB, 32nd in the sprint. Then she shot 20 out of 20 in the pursuit to come home 22nd there, so another PB. And she was no slouch in the relay as well. She had the second leg for the Canadians, and it was a good run for Canada in the women's relay. 13th on the day, comfortably their best race of the year there too. We'll go on to the disappointment, and I'm afraid it was not a good week for poor old Marit Skogen, the Norwegian, with the nightmare opening leg for Norway in the relay. Two penalty loops in that opening leg. She was 1:36 off the front at the handover, and Norway just didn't have any way back. Njåten, Arne Kleiv and Tandrevold, they just fell further and further back. I hope, though, because obviously this was the last relay before the World Championships, worth saying that, and I hope the Norwegian coaches don't overreact to this, because this was Skogen's first ever time opening the relay. She's done really good jobs on leg two in Oberhof and Hochfilsen, and I believe she was on leg two as well. She did a decent job there for the Norwegian team, so I really hope she gets the chance on the second leg at the Worlds. I think if you open up with Njåten, Njåten's got the experience. She's led off a bunch of relays for the Norwegian team. So if you go Njåten to open it up, then Skogen, then Arne Kleiv and Tandrevold, I think that's a decent shot at the gold for Norway there. But it was not a good race for the youngster there. So yeah, fingers crossed she gets her chance there. Then the sprint, I'm afraid it didn't get much better for her. 53rd in the sprint. And then she didn't even start the pursuit. So hopefully we'll see Skogen back to some solid form, because that was a tough week for her, unfortunately. That'll do us for the women's races. Let's move over to the men's, where the overall race not done at all, where we've got a battle of the birds up at the front. So let's see what happened last week. And just like the women, we were starting off with the relays. And just like the women's relay, there would be no overall leader in this one. Johannes Tinger's bow looked shattered at the end of the Oberhof pursuit. Turns out he'd taken a bump on the head, and the coach is giving him a rest in this one. That Norwegian team still looking pretty formidable, though. Leigrid, Dale Shevdal, Taja Bo, and the returning veteran Sjåstad Christensen looking to prove why he shouldn't have been dropped for Oberhof. And it was another decent relay here, lit up early by the United States and Campbell Wright, skiing hard and shooting fast and getting the stars and stripes up to the front for the first handover, alongside big heavy hitting teams like Norway, Germany and France. So good to see the US up with them. Couple of misses on leg two from Emilien Jacquelin put the French in danger, but he responded with a Herculean ski on lap two, bringing 17 seconds back on the leading group, which still included Team USA with Sean Doherty, who was first away for the last lap on this leg, and a great run from the Kazakhstan team early as well. On the second shoot, though, Doherty was off first, but it was Dale Shevdal's turn to struggle. He needed three spares, avoided the loop, but on the final lap, it meant it was his turn to show off on the skis. Anything Jacquelin can do, he can do better. He brought 25 seconds back on the leaders. Amazing ski from Dale Shevdal and an omen of things to come. Meanwhile, Team USA's fairy tale would come to an abrupt end on leg three. Jake Brown, the unfortunate man here, two penalty loops. But the team will come home with a very decent 10th place by the end of the day. Meanwhile, up at the front, the race was won and lost in the stand on leg three. Taja Bo showing every bit of experience. Perfect for Norway, as Fabian Cloud could only get four hits from eight. He went onto the penalty loop for the French, and Benny Dahl could only get three hits out of eight. Not one, but two times round the loop for Benny Dahl, and it was looking bleak for Germany. Up at the front, there was nothing left for Christensen to do other than the job he knows and loves. Nothing silly up front, and he brought home the win for Norway. Great race behind for the podium places, though. We had Switzerland, Germany, Italy, and France all in the mix, pretty much right up until the end. It was Philipp Norrath in the end doing the business for the Germans to take home second. And then we had a fantastic third place for Italy. Tommaso Jacomel pumping his fists over the line for the second week running. Italy looking strong in these relays now. It was a nightmare relay for Team Sweden, though. They were never in the hunt, and that would continue for them in Saturday's sprint. They were going off early. Nellin, Samuelsson, and Ponsaloma all in the first 10 off. Nellin and Samuelsson both missing two in the prone, while Ponsaloma sent four wide. Good ski times for the three of them, but they can't rescue that. Meanwhile, last week's hero Stromsheim would take the early lead, and the rest didn't seem to have done Johannes Tingas too much good. He had a huge miss to the left. That left him with a lot of work to do, while Benny Dole, who was looking to take three sprints in a row, missed his first shot of the day as well. By this point, Stromsheim was on to his last lap with nine out of nine hits. But then the thinking shot went wide. 9 out of 10 was the best he could manage, but that was the early mark to beat. Johannes Tingas might not have been at his best, but he was looking good in the range. Fantastic standing shoot gave him 9 out of 10 as well, and he was out 2 seconds up on his teammate. This looked like a day for a perfect shoot to take the win, though, and we started to see them. Sebastian Stalder and Tarja Bow, the first big names to do it, with Tarja leading the way at the finish line. Said it would need a perfect shoot, but who was this? One miss and Tommaso Jacquemel was on a mission. After a brilliant relay, he was tearing around the tracks, looking inspired out there, shoving Tarja out of the lead by 3 seconds, even with that miss. There was going to be one man who wanted this more than anyone else, though. After being told he was too slow to race in Oberhof, Christensen was on a tear here, coming into the standing chute 30 seconds up on Jacquemel, and he wasn't in the mood to miss. 5 shots, 5 hits, and we had ourselves a sprint winner. Or did we? Because welcome back, Emilien Jacquelin, 10 out of 10 for the Frenchman, and he now led the way, 5.4 seconds up on Christensen, but the legs were burning for Jacquelin on the last lap. He had nothing left in the tank, and that lead disappeared quickly. He was now in a race for the podium, coming up to the finish, absolutely dragging himself to the line, but he just missed out on the podium, 0.8 seconds down on Tarja Bow. But a fantastic performance from Jacquelin, so good to see him back in the mix. So Christensen it was taking the win, Jacquemel in second, Tarja in third, closing the gap to his brother in the overall race. Jacquelin in fourth, Dalyshev out fifth, and Justus Strelov rounding out the top six. Johannes Tingas and Ligrid, two of the favourites pretty much every week, they could only manage ninth and tenth respectively, but they'd look to put that right in the last race of the week as we went pursuiting. It was Christensen, obviously, with the lead early. He was holding his own, but the chasers were also looking good. Jacquemel, Dale, and Tarja all clear in shoot one, while Jacquelin took a miss. While Ligrid and Johannes Tingas not looking great either. They also missed one to fall further behind the leader. Business as usual for Christian at the halfway stage. Another clear shoot for him, and it was a Norwegian 1-2-3 as Dale Shevdal and Tarja Bow matched him. It was Jacquemel's turn to falter as the youngster missed two, with Justus Strelov up to fourth. The speed at the front, all pretty even. I was waiting for Dale Shevdal to pull the pin, but he either didn't have it in the legs or he was biding his time. It's up at the front. It was our first standing shoot and our first mistake from Christensen. He hit the last four, but the door was open for the chasers. No one wanted to go through it, though. Dale missing his first shot, Tarja missing his last, and then Dale pulling a second shot wide, so Christensen would survive on his own at the front four now. Strelov, Norath, Ligrid, and Johannes all had the chance to gain some serious time, but none of them wanted it either. They all missed, and Seb Stalder was the only man clear in the top 10. He was up to third, and might we have Switzerland on the podium? He got swallowed up quickly, unfortunately, by a huge chasing pack. Tarja now the only man within a penalty of Christensen. Two misses in the final shoot and things would be interesting. He came in looking good. The first three went down, but four and five both missed for Christensen. And it looked like it was advantage Tarja. Five would win it. Four he'd be in with a shout, but he missed two. Missing the first shot, missing the last shot, and the chasers were in. A clear shot from any of them would get them out with Christensen in the lead. And we had a lot of men going for it. Johannes Tingas, Norah, Ponsaloma, Dale, Strelyov, Ligrid, Stalder, Jacquelin, and Jacquemel all lined up together, all going for the win. And four of them would go clear, Dale, Streliov, Jacqueline, and guess who? Johannes Tingus. They all joined Christensen, and we had a four-way ski battle for the win. It was Johannes Tingus hitting the front early. You could tell he didn't want to sprint, but he didn't quite have the legs to put anyone under pressure. No one was going early. Everyone was watching each other until Johannes Dale Shevdal went for it. Christensen was the first to react, but didn't have the legs to go with him. Johannes and Jacqueline were in trouble. Streliov exploded, and Dale had the win. Christensen outsprinting Johannes Tingus for third, with Jacqueline resigned to fourth. Streliov with a good fifth for Germany, and Jacamel coming in sixth. Brilliant races all round. Let's have a look what the overall picture is after that. So Johannes Tingus Bo still leads the way, but his lead has been ever so slightly reduced. Tyler closing the gap from 82 points to 78 over the course of the week. Real shame for him that he couldn't hit four on that last shoot there in the pursuit. One miss, he would have been in the shot for the win. If he'd have gone clear, he'd have taken the win. As it was, he had to settle for seventh, Johannes taking third. But a little gain there of 4 points for Taya. The big mover, Johannes Dale Shevdal, he closes his gap from 125 to 82 points, now within a win of the lead and looking like one of the most dangerous men on the tour. Stellaholm Lygrid moves up from fifth to fourth. He's 162 points off the pace. And the big loser of the week in terms of the overall race, Andre Stromsheim, he goes down to fifth after being third last week. He's 166 points off the pace. And so going into the awards for the men, I think there's only one place that we can start off. It is Vetcher Sjostad Christensen, dropped from the team for Oberhof. They didn't think he had the pace in him. What a way to come back. Starts off the week with a nice, easy anchor leg on the relay. Brings the team home for a victory there, and then the sprint, perfect performance in the range, good on the skis as well, and what a way to announce to the selectors that they should not have dropped you. And I mean, a man of his class, obviously they shouldn't have dropped him, but with the pace that you see in this team and the ability of the youngsters in the Norwegian team, great for Christensen to sort of slap the selectors down and say, nope, I'm the man who should be in this team. I'm the man who could be competing for overall championships if you hadn't have demoted me for that particular race. He's sixth in the standings, just a shade over 50 points behind Stromsheim. So give him a couple of extra races and he could have been in that top five just as easily. Bit of a shame in the pursuit, bit of a choke job on the last shoot there, missing two. When he came in, I mean, initially I thought he was looking quite confident. He was gulping in air as he would, but it just didn't quite look like the Stromsheim that we're used to seeing, especially in relays. If you think back to the Olympics where we had that meltdown from Latchipov, which Christensen took advantage of. So a bit of a shame, but a great reaction. He goes around the loops, takes advantage of people missing behind him, Tyre missing behind him, comes out in a group of five alongside, you know, Johannes on paper going to be faster than him. Dale, the fastest man in there. Jacqueline, bit of an unknown quantity at that point, and Streliov as well. And, you know, when Dale went, no one could go with him. Dale had the pace that day. But Christensen was the one with the biggest reaction, I thought. And then when it came down to the sprint, obviously we know Johannes Tingus doesn't have the best sprint in the field. But Christensen showing his strength yet again, not settling, coming home, finishing strong and getting a first and a second over the course of the week. Another first if you include the relay in there as well. So about as good a reaction as you could have hoped for from Christensen. Really impressive stuff. Seems like a really likable guy as well. Always been a big fan of Christensen. So great to see him really answering, not necessarily his critics, but maybe critics within the camp to come back and prove that he deserves to be in one the World Championship still, but to the World Championship relay team specifically. Obviously, an honourable mention here for Johannes Dahle as well. He's been looking like a threat for a victory for so long now. And all he had to do was put it together in the range. Obviously, it was a bit of a messy day all round. He hit 18 out of 20, which was good enough on the day of the big favourites. That was the best shooting score. Strelyov doing a bit better with one, but he didn't quite have the speed of Dahle Shevdal there. Really excellent from him. Also, worth saying that he had a good relay as well, because Dahle, not necessarily sort of in favour when it comes to Norwegian relays. He's had meltdowns in the past. We've seen him on the penalty loop. You could have argued that after Strømsheim's performances in Oberhof, that Strømsheim was unlucky to not be in the team. But Dahle, with Johannes Tingas resting, took full advantage of that and really put his name in the hat. I mean, you look at that team, Ligrid's been leading them off for some time now. He's reliable. He hasn't been spectacular this year in any of the relays. But I think when it comes to that first leg, as long as you're within 5 seconds of the lead, you've done your job. The Norwegian team might look at someone of Ligrid's class and say, can't we get a little bit more out of you than that? But no, a decent start, man. I don't think he's in any danger of losing out there. And then that number two spot, will it be Tarja? Will they go Christiansen on the final leg? Will Christiansen maybe move back to the second spot? He's been the anchor for so long now, but Johannes was the anchor for a long time before that. So it'll be interesting to see what they do in the World Championships. I think there's still question marks over who will make that team when it comes down to it. Or will they just go for the four leading in the world at the moment, which would be Johannes Tingas, Tarja Bo, Johannes Dahle, and Ligrid. Strømsheim and Christiansen missing out in that case, which, again, that would be harsh on Christiansen, I think. But anyway, we can discuss that when we're looking forward to the World Championships. But gold going to Christiansen. Honourable mention to Johannes Dahle, though, the two winners of the weekend. Silver medal, I've got to go to the good old United States of America and Campbell Wright, via New Zealand, of course. What a performance he had all weekend, starting off with an incredible relay. Battling his way forward on the first lap. I mean, the Americans started off, what, I think bib 15 it may well have been, bib 16. He was right towards the front on the first lap. Usually we see, you know, people not necessarily coasting, but taking it quite easy on that first lap. Campbell Wright took advantage of that. He got himself up to the front. Where he was shooting in the range, that meant that he was the first off to shoot. He comes out of the range in first, and then he backs it up on the second and third laps. As well as in the range, really impressive stuff. This American team, sort of, if it all comes together, it was unfortunate, obviously, for Jake Brown that he was the man who had a bit of a meltdown there on the third leg. But we've seen his class before. He's been reliable in relays before. He's had good results himself. And I think that four of Campbell Wright, Doherty, Jake Brown, and Bonacci, sort of under the radar after the United States had fallen away a bit. He went through the anchor leg with no spares needed, perfect shooting from him, only losing sort of 45-odd seconds to the leaders, which is a really good result for Bonacci. So going into the Worlds, if the United States can get a top 10 in the Worlds, I think that's a great result for them. And they're putting themselves in a position, they look like they're coming into form. Campbell Wright, a little bit like some others in the field, someone who I thought would come into this season in better form. He's taken a while to get going. But now that he is, I'm definitely excited to see where he goes. And then going on from that, obviously, we then go into the sprint. One penalty. And traditionally, if you're getting a penalty from Campbell Wright, he's probably going to be maybe sort of in and around 30 to 40. But he takes a miss and he finishes 12th in the sprint. Fantastic performance, beating Strømsheim in the sprint, who was down in 13th. So a mind-blowing result, really, in the sprint for Campbell Wright. And his personal best, beating his 15th place in the individual in Antholz. And then backs again that up in the pursuit. Three misses in the pursuit, but only falls to 17th. So a top 10 finish in the relay, and then two top 20 finishes for Campbell Wright. And you do wonder where his talents can take him. He's still only 21 years old. And, you know, the skies are the limit here. He could win World Cup races, I think, as time goes on. Maybe not for a couple of years. But it's good to see the American flag going, getting back up near the top. And good to see Sean Doherty doing well for them as well. He didn't start, unfortunately, in the sprint, but had a great relay there. Also, a little honourable mention here for someone who was a bit of a star of the relay, Tommaso Jacquemel, who then was brilliant as the week went on as well. A great anchor leg from him, getting the Italian team up into the top three. We'll talk about the man he overtook to do that, Fio Maye. But Jacquemel gaining time on the leaders, probably the most impressive of the final leg. Christensen, obviously, in a bit of a coast mode up at the front, but battling out with the likes of Norath and Fio Maye. Jacquemel was so pumped when he came over the line. That's really great to see, again, for a team that's going to be challenging in the Worlds for medals. He then backs that up, and then some, in the sprint. One miss, and if he didn't have that miss, of course, he would have taken the win. But you look down at the other people who had one miss: Hartweg, Johannes Dingers, Ligrid, and Jacquemel was 30 seconds ahead of them all. I mean, it was a fantastic performance from him. And then ups and downs in the pursuit. He missed four, but still a top six, getting into that sort of medal ceremony at the end of the day there. Jacquemel, again, someone who I thought might be looking at winning World Cup races this year, and that still looks like it could be on the cards. Just 23 years old, another sort of star of the future, potential star of the present. Really impressed by him this week. Bronze, I have to give a shout out to my guy, Emilien Jacquelin. I've been waiting for some fireworks. He's one of my favourites in the field. I love watching him when he's on form. He's not quite yet at the form that we've seen him at before, when he's winning races, winning what, championship gold medals, of course. But he lit up the end of that sprint. He was going bib 51. We had the likes of him, Dale, Strelioff, all sort of in that mid-pack there. It looked like Christensen had the win sewn up, and then all of a sudden, Jacquelin's out of the range. He's 5 seconds up. Couldn't keep it. I think he's still got the same old issues that we've talked about for years now of pacing his races, and he looked absolutely knackered at the end of that one, dragging himself to the line. But always fireworks for Jacquelin. He was given interviews saying that he was in the pursuit to win it, and he so nearly did. When they were on that last lap, the five of them in that group, you were looking at Jacquelin thinking, if this comes down to a sprint and he's still there, can he do this? Didn't quite have the legs on the day, but 2 fourth places for Jacquelin. I mean, a different athlete to the guy we've been looking at all season. I mean, I think his highest result before that was a 13th in the Hochfilzen sprint. He was 13th in the Linzerheide Massstart as well. I mean, Jacquelin should be in the top 10 basically every race. He's such a good athlete, such a classy shooter. When he's on form, it's just he's a joy to watch. And if we see that in the World Championships, that is going to be exciting. So bronze medal, 2 fourth places for Jacquelin. Had to give him a mention in there. We'll go on to unsung hero. Got a couple of names here. I'm going to start off with Otto Invenius of Finland. 23-year-old from Finland there. Not really someone who was on the coverage too much. 21st in the sprint, 18th in the pursuit. But yeah, just wanted to give Finland a bit of a shout out, especially the men's team. We haven't really seen much of them in years now. We had there was a little burst of form from Tero Seppala. It was a couple of years ago, I think 2 seasons ago. He was sort of threatening the podium. I think he had a couple of top fives there. And then that form disappeared. I mean, he's been on the tour this year, but we haven't seen a huge amount of him. So good to see Finland getting up into the top 20. And hopefully Invenius is someone that we'll be seeing more of in the future. Also, not really an unsung hero because he was on the coverage a lot, but just Strelioff, in the season we're having of just brilliant German success, he hasn't been a name that we've been seeing out there. Obviously, we've seen Reese and Doll and Kern and Norath, of course. Sorry, leading the way. I knew I was missing someone there. So Strelov's sort of a bit of a lost name in there, but he had a great week here. Sixth in the sprint, fifth in the pursuit, led the relay after leg one. He's having a great season. This is a guy who's come up fairly recently from IBU Cup level as well. He was in the running for the win there in the pursuit. Didn't quite have it in him to stick with the Norwegians up at the front there, and he fell behind Jacques Alain as well. But really good stuff from Strelov. Good to see him. Good to see him up there. German listeners, do let me know. I think it's Strelov. They say Strello on the coverage, but someone put me right if I'm saying that wrong, which I almost definitely am. But yeah, shout out for Strelov. Good stuff from him. Disappointment. I've got two of them. First up, Phil Maillet. I don't know what's happened to him. He had a bad, bad relay. Fell apart on the skis. Just didn't have anything in the legs. So Giacomo overtook him for third place there, but it didn't take much overtaking. Phil Maillet just didn't have it in him. Then again, in the sprint, he had a bad day there and just hasn't looked like himself all year. But I mean, I assumed there was some sort of injury at play. He was 33rd in the sprint, missing just two penalties. Phil Maillet on his day can miss two and easily be in the top 10. Didn't take part in the pursuit. And that was, again, I was thinking, are we looking at an injury here? But he's in the squad for Antolt, so we'll sort of wait and see. I can't see anything in the French press about an injury to him. So hopefully just a bit of an off week, maybe under the weather slightly. But we're seeing Jacques Alain a bit revitalised. I would love to see Phil Maillet getting back to even 80-90% of the form we know he can have. Because, I mean, what an athlete to watch when he's on form. In terms of potentially non-injury related, though, I mean, Andre Stromsheim, tough week for him. 13th in the sprint, fell all the way down to 31st in the pursuit after five penalties. And, I mean, it's insane that we're talking about this, but it's only a week after he was winning races, and you've got to wonder if he's already starting to look over his shoulder at, you know, the likes of Botton in the IBU Cup and wondering if his place in the team's secure. Hopefully it is. He is in the Antolts team. I should say that. There's no threat of him being dropped necessarily, but he better pick it up in Antolts because, you know, we've seen how ruthless the selectors can be. And for a guy who worked so hard to get off that tour and has looked so good at points this year, I really hope we see a bit of a return to the top 10 at least for Stromsheim in Italy. I think that'll do us for the awards there on the men's side. We're going to have a quick look at next week's races, where we'll be over in Italy. So we're back on the tracks on Thursday, up in the high mountains of Antolz Antseva, with the short individuals starting us off. That's 15 kilometres for the men, that's on Thursday, and then 12.5 kilometres for the women on Friday. And it's mixed relays on Saturday and our second mass starts of the year, finishing us off, on Sunday. And that will be the second trimester of the season as we have it finished. It's absolutely flying by. It's crazy how quickly the season's going. It's been a good one. So in terms of those races, we'll be looking at the odds for the individuals, of course. And on the men's side, you have Johannes Tingesbo, as always, leading the way 6-4. Sturla Holm-Lygreid and Vetcher Sjostad Christensen, both up 5-1 behind him. And I've got to say, of the three of them, it's an individual, so you always want to pick Lygreid. But there's something about Christensen. He had a bee in his bonnet, and totally fair enough, after being left out of the Antolz races. He had a little bit of a struggle there in the pursuit. He'll be annoyed with himself for letting that one slip through his fingers with the two misses at the end. So of the three favourites, Johannes, Lygreid, and Christensen, I think I actually like Christensen to take the win, which will probably mean that Johannes takes it anyway, being the quite rightly the favourite. But he does look off the boil. Wonder if it's this bump on the head that people have been talking about, or if there's just a bit of a dip of form before the Worlds. In terms of an outsider, there's one man I like. It's Martin Ponsiluoma. As always with Ponsiluoma, he might miss five. He might hit 20. If he hits 20, he's probably going to win because he has been quick on the skis pretty much all season, but he was quick over there in Ruhpolding. He's at 16 to 1 for the victory. Of course, in terms of individual races this year, he is your leader, having taken the opening one over there in Östersund. Long shots, Hartweg looks like he's coming back into a little bit of form. He's at 40 to 1 to take the victory. I mean, this is a long shot, so if you like that, then maybe go for it. I think I like him more as a top six contender. He missed one in the sprint. He had a decent go of it in the pursuit. And Hartweg just, I thought, would be someone that we might see really starting to cement himself as a contender for the overall this season. Hasn't happened for him, just hasn't really got into his stride. But, you know, eighth place in the sprint. He was 20th in the pursuit, missing one in each of the shoots. That doesn't bode that well for the individual race. But Hartweg, I think he's a guy to look out for because these are short individuals. So the ski speed, while being important as always, not quite as important as it might be in the full 20-kilometer race. So Hartweg there at 40 to 1. How about Ondrej Rastegojev at 125 to 1, though? He took a perfect shoot in the pursuit. 0-0-0-0 for him there, taking him from 17th up to 10th. And for a guy whose shooting is always kind of a bit unreliable, he's having a really good season with the rifle. He's shooting 97% in the prone targets, 76% in the stand. But, I mean, that's round about average for Rastegojev. He was 72% last year, 77% back in 2021. He missed 21-22, of course, with that ban. So, yeah, Rastegojev's just 125-1 to the win. I'm not sure that's where you'd want to be going. But if you can get a good bet in there for Rastegojev to be in the top six or the top 10. I quite like that because the ski speed is okay. It's not as good as it used to be, but it's okay. He can definitely get into the top 10. And if he shoots the perfect score, who knows, he might sneak onto the podium. On the sort of relay side, mixed relays, interesting to see what the lineups are. I mean, you'd have to assume Norway for the mix. They've just got such a stable of talent. You'd assume they might go Arne Clive and Tandrevold alongside Johannes if he's fit, and maybe Taya in the mixed relay. That leaves maybe a Ligrid and a Njotun going in the single mixed. The team I'm more interested in is Italy. I mentioned this up at the top of the show here. If I was the Italian coaches, I would be going all out for the single mixed relay here. I'd be going Jacamel and Vitozzi. Go for the win, go for the jugular. We do have Dorothea Vera back, and I wonder if that means we see Vera and Vitozzi in the mixed relay alongside Jacamel and be Hoffer or Bierna. It might actually be Bierna on the slightly better form there. And then you might have a Camola and a Hoffer in the single mix. But yeah, if I was the Italian coaches, I'd be going all out here. Jacamel's looking red hot at the moment. Vitozzi's on the form of her life. I think that single mixed, not only in Antholz, obviously it'd be nice for them to get a win on home snow, but for the World Championships as well, that's who I'd be going with. So I'll take Norway for the mix, I'll take Italy for the single mix, but obviously it all depends who lines up on the day. Over on the women's side, we've got Vitozzi, your favourite for the individual. She's at 7-2, Jean Monod, 9-1. Those are my picks of the favourites. I mean, you can tell that it's close up at the top of the women's standings because you've got eight women all at 9-1 or less in the odds there. But Vitozzi, for me, has to be the favourite. She is. Her form in the individuals over the last two seasons has just been incredible. A win, a second place, a third place, a win, and a third place in the last five individual races. She's a class above in the range at the moment. She's got the ski speed as well. We saw that in the pursuit. So I'll take Vitozzi for the win. Jean Monnet as the sort of outside bet of the favourites there at 9-1. She's got 91% shooting this season. So she's in great form as well. In terms of outsiders, I said mentioned Dorothea Vera. She's back in the mix. She's at 20-1. Arna Clive on good form, 25-1. She's got 84% shooting on the season. 39 shots down of 42 in Roop Holding. So good shooting for Arna Clive, 25-1. That'd be my outside bet. And then in the long shots, Vanessa Voigt, always good in the range. The CE speed hasn't been there recently, though. She's at 33-1. And why not Anna Maria Lampic, 150-1. The shooting's only at 64%, but if she can get, you know, an 18 or a 19 out of 20, it's very unlikely. But if she does, the ski speed's there. We all know that. So those are my best bets. Let me know yours. Obviously, get in touch through email or on Facebook. That'll almost do us for this week. But before we go, we'll just have a quick trip to IBU Cup Corner. It was the second week of racing in Italy for the IBU Cup Tour, where we had some sprints, some mass starts, and some mixed relays. The sprints given us more proof that there's a couple of athletes at IBU Cup level who really should be in the World Cup. One of them is France's Gion Guiganat, who will be back with us in Antolz after taking victory in the sprint ahead of Italy's Sara Scatolo and Norway's Ida Lien, both of whom will join Guiganat at Biathlon's top table this week in Italy. On the men's side, Johan Olav Botten kept his name in the selectors' minds, shooting 10 out of 10 to take the victory and extend his overall lead. Five Norwegians in the top six there. The lone imposter, Germany's Danilo Reifmüller, took home the victory in the mass start. We had a third place there for Antonin Guiganat, who we'll see back at Antolz as well. Hopefully on a bit better form. He didn't do so well in the sprint, I should say there. On the women's side in the mass start, it was Johanna Puff of Germany taking her second win of the season. She's now just 55 points behind Norway's Jenny Ennod in the race for the overall crown, but she will also be racing at World Cup level over in Antolz, so that might take the pressure off Ennod a little bit. In the relays, we had mixed relays, single mixed, and the mixed relays. And surprise, surprise, it was Team Norway dominating both of those. To be fair, not dominating the races, but winning both of those to round out the week. I think that'll just about do it from me. Obviously, I'll be back this time next week to recap everything that happened in Antolz. Before, obviously, we jet off to Novo Mesto and the World Championships, which are coming insanely quickly. So I'll see you next week for Antolz. We'll then have the preview of the Worlds. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy all the biathlon this weekend, and I will see you down the road.